In Parsha Matomase, we learn a few new things, but a lot of what we discuss is recapping what happened earlier. Now, it's not the same way as when we're going to recap throughout pretty much all of Sefer Devarim, which is detailed stories. The language of Matomase goes through the travels. So imagine a travel log. We went from this place to this place and this place to this place and this place to this place. But interspersed within those travels are quick mentions of important events that occurred. And the fact that they're mentioned reminds us of their occurrence, of course. Now, again, not in as much detail as we have in Sefer Devarim, but gives us very small tidbits of information that help us to remember and frame the travels that happened. So similar to if you said, I traveled from point A to point B and point B to point C and point D to point E, you would have a list. But if you say, we traveled from the place where so-and-so was in school to the place where we attended so-and-so's bat mitzvah, and then we went from the place of the bat mitzvah to the place where we went on the family vacation, and then we went from the place of the family vacation to the place of the wedding, you give little tidbits of information. They give us context to the travel. So that is a lot of Parshat Matomase. There's some other stories interspersed, but I want to focus on today one of those quick mentions, one of those things that we mention really as just a point of remembering what that place was. But I want to use it as an opportunity to go back to the event itself and to remember the person that it's discussing. What is this event? This is the event of the death of Aharon. And I'm allowed to focus on it now because I didn't give the shiur on it in the week that he originally passed away. So we're allowed to talk about it now. So if you look in Bamidbar Parak Lamid Gimel, so in this week's Parsha, Vaya'al Aharon HaKohen El Hor HaHar Al Pi Hashem. Aharon HaKohen went up onto Hor HaHar Al Pi Hashem by the command of Hashem. Now, if this phrase Al Pi Hashem is going to be important, this is one that rings true throughout the entire life of Aharon. Often throughout whatever it is that Aharon's doing, whether it's that he's there and getting the instructions for the building of the Mishkan, whether it's learning how to serve in the Mishkan, the Karbanos, often we see this phrase of Al Pi Hashem, that it was done by the word of Hashem. And it was that Aharon died there on Hor HaHar in the 40th year from when they had left Mitzrayim. In the fifth month, what is the fifth month? Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. So in the month of Av, on the first of the month. The Aharon ben Shloshim ve'esrim u'me'at shana b'moto b'hor HaHar. And Aharon was 123 years old when he died on Har HaHor. So what is the original story? What is the full expanded explanation of Aharon's death? If we jump back to Bamidbar Parak Chaf, so not so long ago, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe v'al Aharon b'Hor HaHar al Gvul Eretz Edom Lemor. So they arrived at Hor HaHar and they were on the border of Eretz Edom, and Moshe said, and Hashem said to Moshe and Aharon, Yasef Aharon el Amav, it is time for Aharon to return to his nation. That is a euphemism for death. Ki lo yavo al haaretz asher natati l'bnei Yisrael, because he will not be able to enter into the land that I have given b'nei Yisrael. Asher al asher meritem et pi l'mei meriva, because you were meritem pi, you made bitter my mouth, l'mei meriva, at the incident of mei meriva. Kach et Aharon vet al azar b'no v'ha'al utam hor hahar. So Hashem commands Moshe, I want you to take Aharon and I want you to take his son Elazar and I want you to take them up on Hor HaHar. The Havshit et Aharon et Begadav, and Aharon should take off his priestly clothing. Vehilbishtam et Elazar bino, and he should dress Elazar his son. The Aharon yasif v'meit sham, and Aharon will then be swept off and he will die there. Vayas Moshe kasher tziva Hashem vayalu al Hor HaHar le'inei kol ha'ida. So the entire nation watched as Moshe and Aharon and Elazar went up to the mountain. Vayafshit Moshe et Aharon ve'et begadav, vayalbishotam et Elazar bino, vayamat Aharon sham berosh hahar, vayirad Moshe ve'Elazar minahar. So it's a very sad story. It's always emotional when you get to the death of the characters in Tanakh who we have come to know so well. But they do exactly as Hashem said. They go up to the mountain. Aaron removes his priestly clothing. He gives them to Elazar. And then Aaron passes away. And Moshe and Elazar come down from the mountain. And the entire nation of Am Yisrael mourned for Aaron. They realized what had happened, that three went up and two came down. They recognized that Aaron was no longer with them. And the entire nation cried over Aaron for 30 days. So while we have the initial story is, I think, last week's Parsha, we here have in this week's Parsha the brief mention. But I don't think that it's just, we don't mention everything that happens in every place that we pass. So what is the relevance of re-mentioning the death of Aaron? And I think it's interesting to note that there is a specific application of Parshio Matot Maaseh and the death of Aaron to the time period that we are in. The Ha'im Et Davar, the Netziv, mentions, V'chodesh ha'chamishi be'achad l'chodesh. Lo hudi ha'gatov lo b'mitat Moshe v'lo mitat Miriam ha'chodesh u'be'yavet. The Torah does not mention to us the day of the death of Moshe or the day of the death of Miriam, only the day of the death of Aaron. This is to teach us that this month caused the Satan to pay attention to the Beis HaMikdash. And this was a sign to the generations that in the month of Av, the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. So even though the original death of Aaron happened in last week's Parsha, it's mentioned again in this week's Parsha, which is being read now, which is right, we are in the middle of the period of the 3 weeks. And the Netziv makes this fascinating connection. And the Netziv says, from the moment that Aaron passed away in Av, the Satan had his eyes on the month of Av. And this was a sign to us for generations that because this loss happened in the month of Av, we should be aware that future loss would happen during this month as well. And we know that on the 9th of Av, it was not only the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but so many communal tragedies have happened on that day. This is our national day of mourning. And it's fascinating to note that the beginning of this time of tragedy for the Jewish people was when the entire Jewish people cried through the month of Av for the loss of Aaron. So with that, I want to switch over and I want to not think so much about why we are talking about this now, but I want to think about Aaron himself. That what do we know about Aaron? And I want to begin by focusing back on his death for a moment. Rashi says, Ambamidbar Lamed Gimel Lamed Chet, Al Pi Hashem. Why does it say that he died Al Pi Hashem? Milamid Shemit Bin Nishika. We learn that Aaron passed away through a Nishika. That what Chazal explain is that with certain very high tzaddikim, they don't suffer, they're not in pain, there's no illness, there's no sickness. Rather, Hashem literally kisses their neshama out of them. That it's as if with one kiss, they're just done. With one moment, no pain, no illness. They just lose their neshama through a kiss from Hashem. And why is that? The Siftei Chachamim says in Bamidbar Lamed Gimel Lamed Chet Milamid Shemit Benishika Klomar Al Pi Hashem Nidrash Lefanav VeLeAcharav VeYaal Aaron Al Pi Hashem VeKri BeNami Al Pi Hashem VeYamacham. Everything in Aaron's life was Al Pi Hashem. Aaron only did what Hashem wanted. Always he followed, and we are told this many, many times throughout the Torah that Aaron did exactly what Hashem wanted. Everything Aaron did in his life was al pi Hashem. And therefore, it was only midah keneged midah, an appropriate reward for the life that Aaron lived, that this should be the death that he received as well. That his entire life was al pi Hashem, and therefore his death should be literally al pi Hashem as well. So we know that this is a death of tzaddikim, that this is such an easy, smooth way to go. So what I want to explore today is three lessons that we can learn from Aaron. What were three things that made Aaron this tremendous tzaddik who merited to such a unique death and that the entire nation should mourn for him for 30 days? What made Aaron so unique? What made Aaron so special? So I want to start back in the beginning of when we hear about Aaron. And that is pretty much when Moshe returns to Mitzrayim. So in Shemot Parak Dalet, Pasuk Yedalet, this is part of the argument between Hashem and Moshe at the snat, at the burning bush. And Moshe keeps saying, I shouldn't go. I have a speech impediment. I don't know what I'm going to say. No one's going to listen to me. And finally, Hashem becomes kiviyachol, agitated with Moshe. And says, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. Hashem becomes angry at Moshe. Vayomer halo Aaron achicha halevi yadati, ki daber yidaberhu. I don't like to admit it, but sometimes I talk like this as well. Didn't I tell you 100 times what is going to happen? And that's what Hashem is saying. Didn't I already tell you that Aaron, your brother, is going to speak for you? And Hashem says, look, he's going to come out. I already told you, Aaron is going to take care of you. He's going to be your mouth. And look, he's going to yotze l'kratecha. He's going to come out to greet you. Vere'acha v'sameach b'libo. And he will see you and he will be glad in his heart. What was important for Hashem to mention? That Hashem's busy trying to get Moshe with the program. That he's trying to say, Moshe, this is what's going to happen. All of a sudden, Hashem pauses within that and says, Aaron, not only is he going to be there to speak for you, but he is going to come out and he is going to greet you and he is going to be glad in his heart. And Rashi comments there, Lokesh atasavor, it's not going to be as you think. Sometimes when people speak and they express one concern, if we're keenly aware of the situation, we can understand that what's really bothering them is something entirely different. And Hashem says, you might be expressing that no one's going to listen to you. Really, maybe Aaron should speak. He knows how to speak. But what Hashem was reading between the lines here is that Moshe was nervous for Aaron. You are concerned that Aaron is going to be upset. He is going to be annoyed with you, that you are the one who is going to be rising to greatness. And Rashi says this is not going to be so. That Aaron is going to be, as Chazal call it, tocho kiboro. That he is going to be showing on the outside his willingness to help you. He is going to be there right alongside you. But not only that, that's truly going to be what he feels in his heart. That his heart is going to match his speech. That he's going to come out and he's going to look like he has so much joy for the position you are now in. And that joy is going to be heartfelt. And therefore, Rashi says, Aaron was zocha to wear the choshen on his heart. That this unique, the choshen, which held the Urim v'Tumim, that was going to rest on Aaron's heart, that his heart showed so much genuine kindness for Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Hadar Zekinim al HaTorah on the same pasuk says, Likrat Moshe, Al zena emar mi etznecha ke'achli, shahari kayin kam al hevel achicha v'hargehu. The Hadar Zekinim says, we don't have such good luck with brothers up until this point. We have Cain who killed Hevel. The Yishmael bikish laharoget Yitzchak, and Yishmael wanted to kill Yitzchak. The Esav bikish laharoget Esav, and obviously Esav wanted to kill Yaakov. The Hashvatim li Yosef, and all of the Shvatim wanted to get rid of Yosef. The Avimelech haraget Achiv, aval Achim halalu ohavim ze'etzeh. Even Abimelech tried to kill his brothers. However, these brothers that we have here in front of us, ohavim zelaza, they loved one another. Shebishah shenatna lemosha malchus vilaaron kehuna lo nitzkeu zebaza. That at the moment when Hashem assigned to Moshe the kingship and to Aaron the kehuna, there was no jealousy from one to the other. That Aaron, as we said before, was tocho kiboro. That his insides matched his outsides. And there is a tremendous amount written on this about the impressive nature and the importance of being tocho kiboro, having your insides match your outsides. That we've all come across those situations where someone is happy for us. That they come up to you, oh, mazel tov, I'm so happy, but you can see right through it if it's not true. You can see right to the core of what someone's feeling, especially if you know them well. So we have here, we say, these are brothers, and they're put in what's definitely a challenging situation. Moshe is given all of this leadership above the level that his brother has. But the Pasuk and the Mefarshim specifically want to tell us how Aaron was completely happy with his brother. Even though we have so many cases of jealousy between brothers, this was not one of them. This is a case of pure love from one to the other, pure happiness from one to the other, and no jealousy at all. And lastly, in this approach, the Be'er Yashar al HaTorah, Vayishek lo, Aaron nashak le Moshe, Aaron kissed Moshe, ki samach li bo b'shem o mipi Hashem, shem Moshe nivchar le nagid al Yisrael. Why did Aaron kiss Moshe? Because he was so elated, he was so happy when he heard from Hashem that Moshe had been chosen as the leader of Am Yisrael. V'lachin, siviyu Hashem lalachat likrar achiv hakaton mimenu b'shanim aval gadol alav b'nevuah. Therefore, Hashem commanded Aaron when he saw how unique, how impressive Aaron's reaction was, he sent him out to greet Moshe, who I think this is a beautiful line, Hakaton mimenu b'shanim, that is less than him in years, aval gadol alav b'nevuah, but greater than him in nevuah, in his prophet abilities. The Moshe Anav lo nashak at Aaron, and Moshe the Anav, someone Moshe was known for his humbleness, did not kiss Aaron. Ki nahag kavod ba'achiv hagadol, because he treated him still with a certain level of kavod. V'lachin lo ne'amar v'yashaku ish la'achiv, that it was specifically Aaron was showing this respect to his brother, but Moshe still responded with this even greater level of kavod. That we see here that both of them so greatly respected one another. So what is the first lesson that we can learn from Aaron from the beginning of our interactions with him? That Aaron was someone who was truly happy to be, was truly able to be happy for others. That even when Moshe, his younger brother, was put in such a great position, he was able to be genuinely happy for him. Not just show happiness, but to feel happiness. He was someone who was able to match his insides and to his outsides. There was an honesty to him. So when we say that Aaron was happy for someone else, it was a genuine, honest happiness. So our first lesson from Aaron is to be someone who is happy for other people, not just externally, not just to show the signs of being happy, but to genuinely feel happy for another. Approach number two comes from when Aaron unfortunately goes through one of the greatest tragedies that one can go through. Aaron loses on one day, which should have been the happiest day of his life, the dedication of the Mishkan when they're celebrating the beginning of his kahuna. This should have been the greatest day of Aaron's life, and instead he tragically loses two of his sons, Nadav v'Avihu. And after the entire event transpires, the bodies are removed. We see in the beginning, Vayikra Yod Gimel, Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, Hu Asher Diber Hashem Li Mor. Moshe comes to Aaron and he says, this is what Hashem said, Bikrovai Ekadish, through those closest to me, I will be sanctified, Ve'al Pnei Kol Ha'am Echabid, and I will be respected by the entire nation, Vayidom Aaron. And Aaron was silent. That Aaron has just watched the bodies of two of his children be pulled out from the Kodesh HaKadashim. This place that was meant to be his place of Kedusha, his place of holiness, the place where he would finally have his leadership, his authority, has now turned into a place of tragedy. However, Moshe approaches him with these words of Nechama and says from Hashem, that Hashem says that through those closest to me, I am sanctified. That Aaron, through what happens here today, my name will become greater. And Aaron didn't yell back. He didn't scream and wail. Rather, Vayidom Aaron, and Aaron was silent. And Rashi comments here, Vayidom Aaron, ki bel schar al shtikato. He received reward for being quiet in this instant. V'maschar ki bel, and what was the reward that he received? Shenityachid imo hadibor. Shene emra lo levado parshat shtuye yayin. That as a reward, Hashem began to speak directly to him. Where do we see that? The next parsha that talks about not drinking wine as a Kohen who is serving in the Mishkan is spoken directly to Aaron. So we see that this was something great that Aaron did. That it wasn't that he was speechless and at a loss for words, but there seems to be an element of self-control here that is rewarded by something so incredible, which was Hashem speaking directly to Aaron. This Sforno says as well in the next verse, Vayidom Aaron shenitnachim b'kiddush Hashem shenikdash b'motam. He was comforted by the element of Kiddush Hashem that was present in their death. Now, I believe it is the Ibn Ezra that I forgot to paste here, But the Ibn Ezra states that at first Aaron cried. He's not a superhuman. He just lost two of his sons in one moment. That at first he was wailing and crying and mourning appropriately. We shouldn't think that he was some sort of disconnected human being. But then Ibn Ezra says that as soon as Moshe told to him that this was going to be a Kiddush Hashem, then Vayidom Aaron, then he was quiet. And this matches what the Sforno just said, that the Sforno says that he was comforted by the Kiddush Hashem. That at first he was at a loss. He was at mourning. How could this have happened? He was crying and mourning. But once it was expressed to him that this was, in fact, the way that a big Kiddush Hashem was going to be made, it was at that point that he was comforted, and it was at that point, Vayidom Aaron, that he was able to restrain himself, he was able to create a composure, and he was able to recognize that this was all part of Hashem's plan. This expresses Aaron's tremendous level of emunah, that many of us, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we should never, ever know. But if we're going through a hard time and we say, oh, don't worry, it's going to be a Kiddush Hashem, how many of us would have the ability to pull it together in that moment and to say, Vayidom, I'm just going to say nothing. That I'm going to recognize the Kiddush Hashem in the situation and now it's all okay. So few of us would be able to do that. We still want to fight back. We still are human beings who want to try to mourn, to understand the situation that we just went through. But for Aaron, as soon as this was an event of Kiddush Hashem, he was comforted. He was okay. Because Aaron was not only a person of happiness, someone who was able to feel happiness for other people, someone who was genuine and honest, but he was a man of an extreme level of emunah, that he believed that everything was part of Hashem's plan. And as soon as he was able to see how even the greatest tragedy fit into Hashem's plan, Vayidom, he no longer had anything to say in opposition. So the first lesson that we learned from Aaron is that he was someone who was happy for others, and it was an honest, sincere happiness. He was able to express on the outside exactly as he was feeling on the inside, and he was able to feel on the inside exactly as he was expressing on the outside. We also learned that Aaron was a tremendous man of emunah. That as soon as something fell into the plan of Hashem, as soon as he realized that something was a Kiddush Hashem, it was all good with him. That he was able to pull himself together. He was able to no longer question. He was able to recognize the intention behind the situation, even in the most difficult circumstances. So now for our third lesson, I want to go to something that was written posthumously. This is from the other two were stories about Aaron. This is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, definitely one of the more famous Mishnayot, which talks about Aaron, but in reflecting on Aaron's personality. Hillel v'Shammai kiblu mehem. This is connecting us to the place we are in the chain of Mesorah, which is we are at the point of Hillel and Shammai. Hillel omer. Hillel said, Heve mi talmidav shel Aaron. You should be from the talmidim of Aaron HaKohen. Ohev shalom. What does that mean to be from one of the talmidim of Aaron? Usually that means that we want to embody the character traits of that person. That just as a Rebbe teaches information, they also teach a way of being. So when it's saying you should be from the Talmidim of Aaron, means you should learn from how Aaron was. So how was Aaron? Ohev shalom v'rodif shalom. He loved peace and he chased peace. Ohev et habrios u'mekarvan latorah. He loved human beings u'mekarvan latorah, and he brought them closer to Torah. And the Bar Tanura here, which is a commentary on the Mishnah in Avos, Hevi mi talmidav shel Aaron, ohiv shalom v'rodif shalom, pershu ba'avos d'Rabbi Nasan, explained in Avos d'Rabbi Nasan, keitzad haya Aaron ohiv shalom. What does it mean that Aaron was ohiv shalom? Shehaya ro'eh et shnei b'nei adam mitkotetim haya holich l'kol achad mehem, shalom mida'a chaviro. If you would ever see that two individuals were in a fight, he would go to each one of them separately without the knowledge of the other. He would turn to the one person and say, the other person feels so terrible for what they did for you. They're hitting themselves over what they did to you. And he says he just wishes that you would come to him so that you could forgive him. The mitokach, kashayu pog imze baza, hayu menashkim ze laza. He would do this to both sides. He would say, Reuven, Shimon is so sorry for what he did to you. He's so upset that you're upset at him. He wishes you would just come and you would be able to make up. And he would say to Shimon, Shimon, Reuven so regrets what he did to you. Please allow him to come to you. He wants to be able to apologize. And the two would come together, Vimenashkim Zolazo, and they would kiss each other, and there would be a joyful reunion. Because what Aaron was able to do is he was able to literally put the peace into the situation. When the two separate people were so angry at each other and they couldn't think about the other person and being able to make up, once they thought that the other person wanted shalom, they were able to get past their own feelings and they were able to come together and make shalom. And how did he bring the creations closer to Torah? When he knew that a person had done an avira, he would connect with him and he would show him a glowing face. And this person would be embarrassed. And he says, if only this great tzaddik knew the terrible things that I had done. He says, this person would never be so nice to me. I like being around this person, but this person would definitely want to distance themselves from me if they knew the terrible things I had done. And therefore, they would be chozer b'tshuva because they wanted to be connected to Aaron. Because Aaron showed them so much love and kindness that through being an ohev shalom v'rodev shalom, ohev es habrios, he was then mekarvan latorah. Through the positive countenance that he showed them, he was able to bring them closer to Torah. That he showed peace to so many people and he brought so many people back from sin. I heard a story recently on the Meaningful People podcast. It is a podcast that brings on people that are meaningful. And recently they interviewed Rebbetzin Leah Trink. She is the widow of Rabbi Trink, who was a famed mechanich in the New York area for many, many, many years. And he passed away, I believe, 4 years ago. And his motto was just love them. There was a book that was put out about him called Just Love Them. And that was his entire approach in education. That if you just truly love the students, they'll want to be around you. They'll want to do the right thing because they feel like someone loves and cares about them. And she told an incredible story that there was a boy that used to never go to Minyan. And I apologize if I'm getting any of the details wrong. But he used to never go to Minyan. And Rabbi Trink approached the boy and he said, all I want is for Yom Kippur, for you to be in yeshiva sitting next to me. I want you to be in shul on Yom Kippur. And this boy never went to shul. He was very turned off from Judaism. Lo and behold, comes Yom Kippur and the boy's not in shul. So what did Rabbi Trink do? Rabbi Trink left the shul on Yom Kippur morning. He left davening, went to the boy's home, knocked on the door. His mother let him in. He went into the boy's room. The boy was still asleep. And instead of yelling at him, as many of the old time mechanchim might have done, what did Rabbi Trink do? He plopped himself down in the boy's room and he davened Yom Kippur davening from there. So when this boy woke up, he saw someone who wasn't here to yell at him. He wasn't here to berate him for not being in shul. He had just come and brought the davening to him. So when this boy wakes up and he sees that Rabbi Trink loved him so much that he was willing to sacrifice his davening in shul in order to make sure that he felt close to the avoda of that day, that's what impacts someone. It's love for the human being that brings them close to Torah. And that's what Aaron exemplified. He brought people closer to each other by helping them to get over themselves, by helping them to get over their differences in a peaceful, pleasant way. And how did he bring them closer to Torah? By showing them this tremendous love, by nurturing them, and by being a person that they wanted to be connected to. And to them, he represented love and acceptance, but he also represented Torah. So by coming closer to him, they, as a result, came closer to Torah. And Rabbeinu Yonah on this Mishnah says as well, Ritzono lomar sheyahiv belibo haemet vahashalom v'yirduf acharav bepoal yadav. Aaron loved peace and he loved truth. These were midos that were so, so dear to him. V'yirduf acharav bepoal yadav. And they were so important to him that he was willing to act. That he wasn't just someone who preached from up on high that we should be honest people, that we should bring peace between others. But he, as we say, he got his hands dirty. That he was literally willing to take his time to go from one person to the next to make shalom between every two individuals. That he was willing to get his hands in the mud in order to bring shalom because it was so dear to him. Ki yish b'nei adam ohavim oto b'libam v'lo sheyitrechu atzman l'shum shalom ba'olam v'inom holchim b'darchei shalom. There are people who say that they love shalom, but they aren't willing to actually do anything to further shalom. The people who are the students of Aaron are not just the people who love peace, but the people who are actually willing to act and do to bring about peace, because this is the example that they learn from their Rebbe. So what is the last lesson that we learned from Aaron? That he is someone who truly was an Ohev Shalom and Rodev Shalom. He was someone who loved peace enough that he was willing to work really hard to bring it about, even between two simple individuals. So just to recap, what were these three lessons that we learned from Aaron? The first is to be truly happy in our hearts, to be genuine and sincere, that our inside emotions should match what we're saying on the outside, and that we should be able to be so happy for others, even when we see that they are perhaps given more than we are. The second lesson that we learned from Aaron is a lesson of acceptance because of emunah. That he was able to have this tremendous amount of emunah, that he was able to recognize that everything was from Hashem. And when everything was from Hashem, it was going to be okay for him. And the last approach we learned was that he was an Ohev Shalom v'Rodev Shalom, that he loved peace and he was willing to work hard to further peace. And by doing this, by putting in the effort, he not only brought about peace, but he brought people closer to Torah, because people want to be connected to someone who loves them. And if someone loves them and someone loves Torah, they're going to want to be connected to Torah. So Mirtz Hashem, may we be able, as we move on and we now finish Sefer Bamidbar, to take with us the lessons of Aaron, to be happy for others, to be Ba'alei Emunah, and to increase Shalom in the world.